The modern congregation of faith-based believers, in many ways, are the victims of government intervention into the affairs of religion that has brought about the spiritual disenfranchisement of the church. In many ways, it can be said that they have become afflicted with Stockholm Syndrome, that is. They are now championing the thinking and doctrines of their despotic oppressors. In the same way that atheists and secular progressives are presently striving to undermine the concept of God-given, unalienable constitutional rights, the political power of 4th-century secular Rome intervened in religious affairs and succeeded in destroying the spiritual essence of the church when it hunted down and murdered those Christians who refused to accept the religious doctrines of the emperor. When the pagan Christians who called themselves Orthodox entered into a covenant with the ruthless Emperor Constantine, the first of the gospel accounts to be rewritten in order to make it better support the doctrines of pagan Rome was the Book of Acts. See, the original gospel accounts was focused on the core objective of the return of the prodigal sons and daughters to the kingdom of the Father, which they abandoned in the Alpha of creation. See, and the Book of Acts was representative of a series of important scriptures which portrayed this evolution of the individual from an existence as ordinary people into anointed Messiah/Christ. Men and women who not only knew all truths, but were allegorically portrayed as being able to perform even greater miracles than did Jesus himself in the original gospel accounts. In order to use Christianity to enable both the government and the pseudo-clergy to rule over the people, the very core objectives of the gospels had to be censored and suppressed. And thus, it was the initial rewriting of the Book of Acts that caused the Ebionite Nazarenes and the spiritual Gnostic Christians to hold council and decide upon the preservation of 7 libraries of scriptures that had not been corrupted by the Church of Constantine. See, pure scriptures do exist. Why were these more pure scriptures so important to preserve? Unlike the multitude of faith-based believers, both the Ebionite Nazarenes and the spiritual Christians understood the journey and perfection of the soul over the course of many lifetimes. See the 10 reasons why the church rejects the reality of the pre-existent soul. And the spiritually evolved souls sought to preserve the sacred writings so they would be available to them when their souls return to this world in a future lifetime. See an inconvenient truth. In understanding the laws and the relevance of the statement, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Gal 6:7 NIV. By actively defying the emperor and his church and working to preserve the pure scriptures, it was understood that the laws would return access to these same scriptures to these same souls in the future. As set forth by the pre-Nicene Church Father Origen, every soul comes into this world strengthened by the victories or weakened by the defeats of its previous life. Origen. De Principiis. See chickens come home to roost. By properly applying what Jesus portrayed as the key of knowledge to the scriptures, they were able to spiritually restore themselves and regain access to the kingdom within. While many faith-based religious people may take exception to the above statement, they do so not only to their own peril, but they reject these statements because they fail to even understand what a spiritual religion is. An institutionalized church, which is common to this world, exists on a horizontal plane, and because it lacks depth, failing to grow root within the individual, see sower and the seed, and produce the necessary spiritual fruit that brings about the promised manifestation of the kingdom within the congregation of believers' faith-based religion instead. Like a politician who seduces the people with their words, promises life after death, or the anticipation of a kingdom that will come upon the earth at some future date when certain unknown requirements are fulfilled. And it is a fact that every doomsday prophet has perpetually predicted the end times in every generation since the scriptures were written. The only indisputable fact with respect to the countless false prophesies is that the making of the prophesy has been very lucrative to promote. The prophets of doom have often lived lavish lifestyles off the collection plate that has been received in the name of God and the approaching end times. As perhaps one classic example, Pope Gregory I, who as Pope was declared to be infallible, persuaded the rich people in his day that the end of the world was at hand, and if they wanted to go to heaven, they had better pass on their property to the church before the coming of the great day. The result was that the papacy became the richest land owner in Europe. This same prediction that the end of the world has arrived and is imminent has been repeated an uncountable number of times in every generation since the beginning of our common era. the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, as well as many other Christian sects, were all born from failed doomsday prophesies where the faith-based believers who did not understand the application of the key of knowledge continued to promote their error instead of seeking to understand the spiritual meaning of the end times prophesies of the scriptures, each continuing to embrace and promote the error of their understanding into subsequent generations of spiritually disenfranchised believers. When their prophesies fail to come about as predicted, instead of examining their thinking that caused them to arrive at their erroneous predictions, in a faith-based religion where knowledge is shunned and condemned as heresy, blind acceptance is required in the doctrines of the cult's respective leaders with the promise of reward or punishment when one's physical life has been culminated here on earth. In contradistinction, spiritual religion is the means to prove the core doctrines of belief while the seeker is still alive in the physical body. But in order to bring about this higher spiritual objective, one must build upon the proper and balanced framework of mind and being, that is, the seeker must become the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed. While faith-based religion does not care about or understand the need for the required foundation, this foundation was paramount in the thinking and objectives of our deist founding fathers who framed our constitutional form of government. In understanding the laws, they acknowledged that each and every man, woman, and child is the offspring of their heavenly Father, and like the prodigal son, possesses an inheritance that few understand the higher reality of. Part of the necessary equation is seen in the reality that to bring about the greatest success, the people must be free of despotic rule by both church and state, in order to manifest the foundational mindset and lifestyle to bring about what is portrayed as the inheritance of the prodigal son. And thus, the great success and what is often portrayed as American exceptionalism is the direct result of the work of our deist framers to manifest the proper foundation of government that would initiate the laws that permit advancement, which would in turn inaugurate this great success enjoyed by the American people. When properly understood, Judaism has remained a spiritually flat-lined institutionalized religion, because Judaism itself was an ancient mystery religion that is not at all understood by the very people who call themselves Jews today. Jesus condemned the leaders of the Jewish sects of the Sadducees and Pharisees not because of their unbelief, but rather because they promoted blind faith in the doctrines of men. What Jesus portrayed as the key of knowledge was thrown away by a body of secular-minded carnal rabbis, such as the Pharisees, who only possessed a very surface knowledge of the scriptures, that is. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." Matt 22:29 NKJ. Thus, because they lacked true depth of understanding, Jesus portrayed them as blind guides who had thrown away the key of knowledge, that is, how terrible it will be for you experts in religious law, for you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Luke 11:52. Thus, the test of the validity of the Jewish religious teachers and leaders was in fact seen as their success in the endeavor to enter the kingdom themselves, and it was their failure to bring about this spiritual objective that caused Jesus to condemn them as blind guides whose spiritual folly prevented others from entering. But in view of the fact that the Church of Rome followed in the same exact path and footsteps as the carnal Jews, what is stated in Jesus' words is just as applicable to the modern church as it was to the carnal Jewish leaders who Jesus condemned. Spiritual religion. To understand the essence of a spiritual religion, you must first understand why Jesus condemned and rejected the Jewish teachers and experts in religious law as being spiritually counterfeit. The allegation of Jesus' words is seen in the fact that there exists what he called a key of knowledge, and when this key of knowledge is properly applied, then the person possessed the ability to enter the kingdom, that is, for you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Thus, the objective of a spiritual religion is to reveal and properly apply the key of knowledge in such a way that the person gains access to the kingdom which Jesus said was within each of us. See Luke 17:20-21. And the fact that the carnal Jews who, in their very limited understanding of the scriptures, was teaching the people to look for the kingdom of God to come outwardly upon the earth in the same way that Christians today look for the second coming, it is seen that the leaders of both the Jews and the Christians had, in fact, hidden and thrown away the key of knowledge. Failing to fulfill the requirement of entering the kingdom themselves made them blind guides who prevent others from entering. And because the church itself threw away the key of knowledge under Roman rule, these same words apply to modern Christians as much as the Jews who Jesus rejected and condemned. Throughout man's history, the counterfeit religious leaders who acted in collusion with secular authorities perpetually hunted down the adherents of spiritual religion, declaring them to be heretics. In the Middle Ages, they held inquisitions where the faith and belief of the people were tested, and those who failed the test were tortured and put to death. One such example is the case of Giordano Bruno, who can be used as a demonstration of those Christians who did not subscribe to the dogma of pagan Rome. See Giordano Bruno. Quoting the article to present the concepts of cosmology, which was foundational to Bruno's positions, Bruno believed and praised Copernicus for establishing a scientific explanation for the fact that the Earth revolves around the Sun, and that the apparent diurnal rotation of the heavens is an illusion caused by the rotation of the Earth around its axis. Bruno also held, following Nicholas of Cusa, that because God is infinite, the universe would reflect this fact in boundless immensity. Bruno also asserted that the stars in the sky were really other suns like our own, around which orbited other planets. He indicated that support for such beliefs in no way contradicted scripture or true religion. Under this model, the sun was simply one more star, and the stars all suns, each with its own planets. Bruno saw a solar system of a sun/star with planets as the fundamental unit of the universe. According to Bruno, infinite God necessarily created an infinite universe, formed of an infinite number of solar systems, separated by vast regions full of ether, because empty space could not exist. Bruno did not arrive at the concept of a galaxy. Comets were part of a synodus ex mundus of stars. And note, as other authors maintained at the time, ephemeral creations, divine instruments, or heavenly messengers. Each comet was a world, a permanent celestial body, formed of the four elements. Bruno's cosmology is marked by infinitude, homogeneity, and isotropy, with planetary systems distributed evenly throughout. Matter follows an active animistic principle. It is intelligent and discontinuous in structure, made up of discrete atoms. This animism, and a corresponding disdain for mathematics as a means to understanding, is the most dramatic respect in which Bruno's cosmology differs from what today passes for a common-sense picture of the universe. During the later 16th century, and throughout the 17th century, Bruno's ideas were held up for ridicule, debate, or inspiration. Margaret Cavendish, for example, wrote an entire series of poems against atoms and infinite worlds in Poems and Fancies in 1664. Bruno's true, if partial, rehabilitation would have to wait for the implications of Newtonian cosmology. In the presentation of the esoteric knowledge that was revealed to the inner core of Jesus' disciples, I greatly expand upon the reality of matter and cosmology of mind throughout this present article in order to present an enlightened picture that must be considered if the disciple is to begin to seek and manifest their true spiritual potential. In the same way that much of the body of this esoteric knowledge, Gnosis, was revealed to me by the true prophet/son of God, the question becomes, was Giordano Bruno put to death for expressing the knowledge that the Son of God revealed to him directly? Which means that Giordano Bruno, as was the case of countless other spiritual Christians, was persecuted because he attempted to present to the people important esoteric truths that they must have an understanding of, in order to bring about the fulfillment of the gospel objectives within themselves. While Giordano Bruno was burnt at the stake by the Church of Rome, the leaders of the Protestant Reformation were no different in their war on spirituality. Michael Servetus, a Spanish theologian, quoting the Wikipedia, in 1553 Servetus published yet another religious work with further anti-Trinitarian views. It was entitled Christianismi Restitutio, a work that sharply rejected the idea of predestination and the idea that God condemns souls to hell regardless of worth or merit. God, insisted Servetus, condemns no one. He does not condemn himself through thought, word, or deed. At his trial, Servetus was condemned on two counts: for spreading and preaching non-Trinitarianism and anti-pedobaptism, anti-infant baptism. Of pedobaptism, Servetus had said, "It is an invention of the devil, an infernal falsity for the destruction of all Christianity." In his first two books, De Trinitatis Erroribus and Dialogues on the Trinity plus the supplementary De Iustitia Regni Christi, Servetus rejected the classical conception of the Trinity, stating that it was not based on the Bible. He argued that it arose from teachings of Greek philosophers, and he advocated a return to the simplicity of the Gospels and the teachings of the early church fathers that he believed predated the development of Nicene Trinitarianism. Servetus hoped that the dismissal of the Trinitarian dogma would make Christianity more appealing to believers in Judaism and Islam, which had preserved the unity of God in their teachings. According to Servetus, Trinitarians had turned Christianity into a form of tritheism, or belief in three gods. While Michael Servetus did not possess the factual evidence in the form of the pre-Nicene biblical texts and writings of the earliest of church fathers which prove that, from an original gospel perspective, Jesus became the Messiah / Christ at his baptism in the Jordan, see. The fact is that he was correct, opposed by both John Calvin and Martin Luther. He was sentenced to burning a slow death for his alleged anti-Trinitarian heresy, which is easily demonstrated to be false. See the insertion of the doctrine of the Trinity. But of equal importance was the validity of the positions which he embraced in opposition to the dogma of Calvin and Luther with respect to predestination. In the declaration of the Roman Emperor Constantine that Jesus was God, which is in opposition to the original gospel accounts, see, and the later decree on the part of the Roman Emperor Justinian anathematizing the teachings of the pre-existent soul, see the journey of the pre-existent soul. It has become impossible for the Christian world to understand the biblical doctrine of predestination, see the laws that perfect mankind. And by virtue of this removal of perhaps the most predominant and important teaching is the Scriptures, it is impossible for the Christian world to understand how Jesus became the Son of God and the path that each believer and follower of Jesus must themselves walk in order to bring about the next stage of birth within themselves and accomplish the journey in the way. Thus, the reality of the church in conflict and opposition to the original teachings of Jesus in the way is portrayed in the words, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God." John 16:1-2. The adherents of spiritual religion are Gnostics, because they utilize the key of knowledge to gain access into the inner kingdom and learn from the one teacher which has traditionally been called the Logos / Son of God, see Logos. In contradistinction, the counterfeit religious leaders who have thrown away the key of knowledge always portray themselves as orthodox. At the founding of the United States, many who walked the more spiritual path of the Gnostics were known as deists, and some were associated with the Masons. It is important to understand that the guarantees of First Amendment, God-given rights that is the cornerstone foundation of the Constitution of the United States, is from the side of the deists and Masons, and one of its primary objectives was to ensure freedom of thought from mainstream faith-based religions, that is, fundamentalist Christianity. Among the U.S. founding fathers, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Ethan Allen, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Thomas Paine, and George Washington were all deists, while the Masons were an esoteric order that had members in all religions and governments. The deists were those who stated that God is the most rational force in creation, and God can only be found with the expansion and development of the rational mind. In contradistinction, traditional faith-based religion is one of blind and unquestioning belief in the dogma of the church as portrayed in the words of Martin Luther. Reason is the greatest enemy that faith has. It never comes to the aid of spiritual things, but, more frequently than not, struggles against the divine word, treating with contempt all that emanates from God, quoted in The Great Thoughts, compiled by George Seltz. Why did Luther condemn the rational powers of perception and interpretation of the mind of man? Luther embraced many of the same tenets and grave misunderstandings of the biblical doctrine of predestination as did Calvin, and Thomas Jefferson is quoted as saying of Calvinism, his, Calvin's, religion was demonism. If ever man worshipped a false god, he did. The being described in his 5 points is a demon of malignant spirit. It would be more pardonable to believe in no God at all than to blaspheme him by the atrocious attributes of Calvin. Works. Volume IV. Page 363. In the foregoing chapter/subheading entitled, The Books with the Power to Deceive, I demonstrate that the Apostle Peter basically stated the same position that Jefferson did. Faith-based religion rejects the God-given gift of reason, because their own ignorance pertaining to the true nature and objectives of both the Scriptures and God, which causes them to embrace what Peter portrays as unworthy beliefs about God, causing them to believe grave error or, in the words of Jesus directed at those who have thrown away the key of knowledge, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Matt 22:29 NKJ. In a spiritual religion, God is understood to be the most rational force in creation, and it is the purpose of religion to bring about the necessary heightening and enlargement of human consciousness that enables man to enter the presence of what Jesus portrayed as the one teacher, see true prophet, and learn directly from God, see below. It was impossible for Luther and Calvin to understand the biblical doctrine of predestination, because a Roman emperor has forbid and condemned the teaching of Jesus on the journey of the soul, see the pre-existent soul. And herein lies an even greater problem from a modern perspective, which is seen in the fact that the people who presently portray themselves as deists fail to understand the very spiritual core of deism and thus the essence of reason itself. The modern atheists perceive themselves to be totally led by reason and intellect, and yet their understanding of God, religion, and the world is so radically different from that of the historical deists who founded our nation, that it can easily be demonstrated that reason alone is a spiritually bankrupt path. Thus, reason without the necessary heightening and enlargement of human consciousness is in and of itself a dead-ended path. It is important to understand deism because of its rejection of the European ideas of church and state and in total opposition its proclamation that man is imbued with God-given unalienable rights that are beyond the reach of government to in any manner suppress or inhibit. It is easily demonstrated that the epistles in the New Testament were corrupted with interpolations in order to make Christians in subjection to Rome. See interpolations. And these same interpolations were later used by the governments of Europe to promote political rulership of the church. The King of England was declared the Vicar of God and deemed infallible even before this doctrine of infallibility was bestowed upon the Pope. And when properly understood, it is this relationship between church and state which caused the Christian world to be reduced to a condition of spiritual complacency. Deism, on the other hand, not only rejects the whole concept of government-ordained religion promoting the separation of church and state, but lays the foundation for the concept that the highest obligation of government is to protect the God-given rights of the individual. Deism is defined as a religious and philosophical belief that a supreme God created the universe, and that this and other religious truth can be determined using reason and observation of the natural world alone. See Deism. And this revelation through the use of reason and observation was based upon the original objective of the teachings of Jesus as portrayed in the quotation from the Encyclopedia Britannica under the heading, The History of Christian Mysticism, where it reads, Although the essence of mysticism is the sense of contact with the transcendent, mysticism in the history of Christianity should not be understood merely in terms of special ecstatic experiences, but as part of a religious process lived out within the context of the Christian community. From this perspective, mysticism played a vital part in the early church. Early Christianity was a religion of the spirit that expressed itself in the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness, that is, the focused objective is presented in the words, the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness. If all that was necessary was the use of human reasoning to understand what the deist stated was the work of Creator God in the forming of the universe, then there would be no such thing as atheists who reject the whole concept of a creator. And if we inquire as to what made the reasoning of a deist who embraced a creator God very different than the reasoning of an atheist who totally rejects the whole concept of a deity, the answer is found in the elevated and matured reasoning of the deist who understood the laws of creation, in contradistinction to the atheist whose powers of reasoning and intellect has been flatlined by their blind ideology. So the question then becomes, Did the deists who framed our constitutional form of government understand a higher reality of the laws that is not at all understood by those who claim to be affiliated with deism today? With respect to the deist assertion that truth can be found using reason and observation of the natural world, this is merely confirmation of the words of Paul explored in the above when he stated that the truth of God can be discerned by observing the natural world that is. For since the creation of the world his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Rom 1:19-20 NAS. That the critics of the deists failed to understand that they merely confirmed what Paul stated is confirmation of the blindness on the part of the critics. Modern quantum physics has begun to verify the position of the mystic that not only is all of creation imbued with the divine pattern, but that the divine pattern is holographically replicated into each of its parts. And, as I will present at numerous points in this article, the physical is in fact the pattern for the whole. And what both Paul and the deists are expressing is the fact that if you apply the aspects of the pattern into each successive level of both creation and your own mind, soul, and spirit, that you will begin to understand the laws and the forces at work enabling you to not only conquer your own divided nature, but also prevail over these forces and laws. Thus, fulfilling the requirement set forth in the second saying of the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus said, "Let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished, and he will rule over the all." Of primary importance is the observation of the laws that control all aspects of the outer world, because it is these same laws that holographically exist within the body and mind of each individual person. Therefore, to begin to understand the forces and laws that are working in the outer world, it is essential to embark upon the journey of self-discovery through the knowledge of understanding the very forces and laws of the mind and consciousness of mankind, that is, within one's own mind and being. And thus, the great truth that seems to have escaped the understanding and reasoning of the modern deist is revealed in the book entitled Fragments of a Faith Forgotten by G.R.S. Meade, where he explains that what the authors of the scriptures truly projected onto the screen in the form of a picture of the universe was in reality a picture of their own minds. He then writes of the scriptures, "Its mythology is a symbolic portrayal, almost a deliberate one, of the forces which operate in the structuring and evolution of the human personality." It was for this reason that Carl Jung called the Gnostic Christians the world's first and foremost psychologists who understood the very fabric of human consciousness. And, when rightly understood with what Jesus called the key of knowledge properly applied, the scriptures are about you, that is the laws and forces working in your own mind and body, and they are timeless and relevant to every period in human history. And it is this higher enlightened understanding of the scriptures and the proper application of the key of knowledge that initiated and brought about the personal, revealed revelation that provided the deist the necessary supreme reasoning powers that enabled him to understand what atheists and faith believers were blind to. The limitations of entry-level deism. While the modern deist makes claim to a superior understanding based upon reason, their claim immediately provokes a number of flaws in their assertion that a person of reason would ask. Anyone even vaguely familiar with history knows that man's reason is the basis for every variety of insanity and ignorance that has immersed mankind in lives of ignorance and superstition since he first attempted to understand the world and his place in it. Every despot throughout history has been able to make the case using his reason and intellect to define and demonstrate the superiority of his position, even when their positions brought great suffering, hardship, and even death upon others. Karl Marx used his reason to look out at the world and reject all ideas of God and a supreme being, so for the modern deist claim to be able to look out at the world through the eyes of reason. A person of reason and intellect would require them to defend and prove their vision of creation based upon reason over the countless dissenting positions that totally reject a supreme creator. Moreover, unless the deist could provide rational insight into how they know that the theist position of revealed religion is in error, other than they personally don't believe that God chooses certain people to present truth to mankind, then even their case against traditional Judaism Christianity and Islam must be seen as an opinion based upon human assumptions that cannot in any manner be supported by reason and intellect. While the deists are not wrong, the fact that they don't know why they are right, and can only base their positions on their own unproven opinions, demonstrates the inferiority of the positions they promote. In recognizing that the word gnosis is defined as spiritual knowledge received directly from God, and that only those who possess this higher vision and reason can know the truth beyond man's opinion-based level of human reasoning, then the true deist must be able to convey the means that they moved beyond the limits of human reasoning and tapped into the all-knowing vision of divine reasoning. And in order to lift mankind above the folly of his human reasoning that has embraced every variety of insanity, superstition, ignorance, and error, the true voice of reason must clear away the garbage of human reasoning and demonstrate the path for mankind to know how to begin to tap into the source of higher reasoning that enlightens them to the truth. On the surface, the modern deist does not appear to understand the Gnostic roots of deism or the fact that, when rightfully understood, the historical man Jesus would be seen as a perfect example of the objectives of deism. Quoting the definition of deism found at, deism is belief in God based on the application of our reason on the designs/laws found throughout nature. The designs presuppose a designer. Deism is therefore a natural religion and is not a revealed religion. The natural religion/philosophy of deism frees those who embrace it from the inconsistencies of superstition and the negativity of fear that are so strongly represented in all of the revealed religions such as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. These religions are called revealed religions because they all make claim to having received a special revelation from God, which they pretend, and many of their sincere followers actually believe, their various and conflicting holy books are based on. When it is recognized that Moses stated that there would be many other men of vision that would prove and confirm all that he stated, and in the original gospel accounts, Jesus was a man, who fulfilled the law to become the anointed, Messiah/Christ, and Mohammed was a man who became the prophet, then the whole of the modern deist argument against what they portray as a revealed religion comes to naught. Which means that the bottom line of the equation is that few men make the effort to follow and embrace the path of the prophets of the way. If, in the example of Jesus, he fulfilled the laws within himself that the modern neo-deists are merely claiming to observe, then it is perfectly understandable why Jesus, who fulfilled the laws, has been personified as a revealer. And what the Gospels teach is that anyone who fulfills the laws within themselves in the manner that Jesus did, will know and be able to accomplish all that he did.